Hello and welcome everybody to an extended opening version of the AfterBuzz podcast. My name is Nico Adjamin, your host of the AfterBuzz, and of course with me is Buzz Adams.
Hello.
What were you doing?
Just adding a little hi-hat,
to the mix here. Just adding a little mix, a little flavor, just a little enhancer. All right, well, I liked it. How are you doing?
I'm beatboxing.
You're beatboxing?
Yeah.
You're boxing a beat.
Uh-huh.
You're beating your box.
Do you know what beatboxing is?
Do I know what beatboxing
is? Yeah, are you old enough to remember when beatboxing was a real big trend? Yeah,
yes, Mr. Adams.
Oh, okay, all right.
I'm familiar with the beatboxing. Biz Markie. God.
Okay, I just wasn't sure.
Can you do it?
No, it would sound insulting if I did it.
Yeah, God, we are not meant for that. I'm always impressed, though, by people who can do it. Some people will do it at the open mics or shows.
Like, just add it as part of the...
Mm-hmm. Mark Vincent's really good at that, or Vincent Marcus is really good at that. Like, when he first started coming out to the open mics, he would incorporate the beatboxing with a story he was telling or as a sound effect.
Eric Schwartz, I think, does it.
Eric Schwartz is really good at it, yeah.
All right.
Well, on today's episode of the AfterBuzz, we have a grab bag of topics. News nugs. If you will.
Did I hear news nugs?
You might have heard news nugs.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Oops. That's not the Nico's news nugs. Here's what I'm in.
Nico's news. Nico's news nugs.
Hell.
Come on, it's not really news.
All right.
First up, let's talk about what country has the most nuclear weapons?
Boy.
Actually, I have a list of all nine countries that have them and their numbers.
I guess USA probably has the most.
That's such fake
news. Oh, really? China?
You're fake news.
Russia.
Correct. Russia has 5,580 nuclear warheads. The largest nuclear arsenal in the world. And it inherited much of its arsenal from the Soviet Union after the Cold War ended. So today it maintains a nuclear triad consisting of land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles, submarine launchable long-range strategic bombers. I'm not sure, though, like, do you really think they do upkeep and, like, you know...
I mean, behind the Iron Curtain, which is not really the Iron Curtain anymore. We probably don't know the half of it. Of whatever's really going on.
I bet I do not imagine the Russian government as being really into maintenance and keeping things up in tip-top shape. And if you're wondering why I think that...
Chernobyl,
the Ukraine war, Russia was shown as a paper tiger. All their shit was old. Anyways, number two is the United States with 5,044.
That's right in there.
Right in there.
Right up there with Russia.
We have the same nuclear triad. We were the first to get them. And it's how our country stays safe, for the past 80 years.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point. Anytime you hear about a country wanting to get nuclear weapons,
right,
like Iran, you know, that's one of the reasons given among many, is that they want a nuclear weapons program. I don't think it necessarily means so they can drop it on somebody, but by having a nuclear weapon or having multiple nuclear weapons, what it really means to the rest of the world is you can't just fuck with us.
Well, that's what it means. You're right.
Yeah. It's just, you know, hey, it's a thing you have to take into consideration with any of your dealings with us.
If you fuck with us, you're fucking with yourself.
Right. It's a kind of don't fuck with us shield. We have nukes.
That is interesting. Number three on the list is the newest player in the nuke game. And newest, I mean the newest big player. China tested its first nuke in 1964 and has maintained nuclear forces ever since. They say
another thing about getting nukes. After that point, they can't come back and say, we don't want you getting nukes because you already got one.
You already got one. Yeah, once you get
and
that
one
first one
is enough to,
which is why they've been, the Iranian situation has been so complex is they've been trying to prevent them from getting that first, that first one.
I mean, if the Iranians weren't motivated to get a nuclear weapon, before, of course they were. Right. They certainly are now.
Well, a big part of the point plan or whatever the plans they're exchanging with each other is about whether the Iranians are going to get rid of their enriched uranium or not. Some of the plans are like, you got to get rid of it.
Trust us, guy. We got rid of all of it.
So China apparently is expanding rapidly, that every single year their number of warheads increases by 100. Ours are not.
How many does China have?
600. 600 plus. Next up, France developed nuclear weapons in 1960 following geopolitical tensions such as the Suez Crisis. French leaders believed an independent nuclear deterrent was necessary to maintain national independence and global influence. Today, France maintains probably the largest nuclear arsenal of European countries at 290.
UK's got them, right?
Next up, number five. The UK first tested in 1952 and became the third country to develop them. Britain maintains a relatively small but technologically advanced deterrent. And they have 225. Not all of them either have the nuclear submarines, the bombers.
The triad.
So, like, they
only... What's the most surprising country that you would say? You don't have to go down every one of them unless you want to, but what country on there would surprise people?
Probably Israel. That Israel has nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Wakanda, but...
That would surprise a lot of people, I would say.
Who needs nukes when you got vibranium?
They say North Korea has 50.
Yeah, but do they work?
So they... Assembled. It says they've assembled around 50 nuclear warheads.
Do they work? Now, there's one where I could see them having a lot of duds, or maybe they don't really have a workable bomb or not. If I think that of any place, it would be North Korea.
So, do you want to know something interesting? Israel, analysts estimate they possess about 90 warheads, but they do not officially acknowledge the nuclear arsenal. They still will deny it to this day. Mm-hmm. Which they do deliberately, making precise estimates difficult. They could have 800 or more than
or
us,
less.
Or less, yeah. All right, that's that topic. Next up, eye color. What color are your eyes?
Brown.
Yeah, mine too. I always felt jealous of people with like really nice, like good looking eyes.
What makes good looking eyes?
Like blue or green or something.
So it's
different.
All about the color?
Yeah. Pretty eyes are about the color. What is
shape? I don't know. Just kind of like some people have kind eyes, some people have wise eyes.
No, I'm talking about like beautiful eyes. Mm. Like if you see just like bright emerald or bright blue.
No, well, they definitely stand out.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend who had bright blue eyes and dark hair, and people would stop her on the street to compliment her eyes.
That's that kind of thing that people will stop.
Yeah.
My friend Chris, you know Chris, the Green Beret guy.
Yeah.
He has like some, I don't even know how to describe, maybe I'll say they're green. But anyways, women will stop. If we're at a bar, women will stop and just be like, you are so attractive. Your eyes are so pretty.
You think it's all the eyes or is that just what they mentioned by name?
That's what they mentioned. Hmm. Yeah. Well, it turns out 70-80% of people on Earth have brown eyes. So that's us.
70-80?
Yep.
It seems like the default human eye color, right?
Yeah. Brown irises contain the highest concentration of melanin pigment. Melanin is the same thing that gives your skin color. The darker pigmentation helps absorb more light and may offer protection from ultraviolet radiation.
Okay.
Brown eyes are especially common in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East, where darkly pigmented irises dominate the population. Blue eyes is about 8 to 10% worldwide, second most common eye color globally.
Mm-hmm.
Low levels of melanin. Instead of blue pigment, the color appears because light scatters through the iris in a phenomenon similar to the way the sky appears blue.
Think Norway, think Sweden. Think any of the Nordic countries.
That's right.
Ireland, the UK.
And genetic research suggests most blue-eyed people share one common ancestor. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that?
Oh, I can believe it. You got blue eyes. Everybody wants to bang you.
Right? You'd be the first blue person. Blue-eyed
hey,
person.
Look at these. Jeepers creepers. Check out these peepers.
Yeah, like the caveman would definitely be like, hazel eyes are about 5%. And if you're wondering what the fuck is hazel eyes, they have green, gold, and brown tones. And they may change depending on lighting condition.
Gray is a very unusual.
Next up, gray.
Yeah, gray eyes.
1-3%. It's one of the rarest natural eye colors.
Natural? You mean not wearing contacts?
I guess so. Gray irises have very little melanin and a unique structure of the iris that scatters light differently than blue. It can create a silvery or smoky appearance.
People said Liz Taylor had violet-colored eyes.
Okay, interesting that you get there. Hold on. Green eyes, among the rarest eye colors, only 2% of the population.
Good chance you think if you see somebody with green eyes, they're wearing contacts?
To this day, I would say so, yeah. I've been tricked by people with blue eyes. Like I thought somebody had blue eyes, and I got close to them.
Closer, and they got contacts in.
Yeah, it was contacts. Amber eyes, often described as having golden or copper. This happens when there's a certain thing inside of it called pheomelanin.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, number 7, 0.1% of people, violet or red eyes.
Mm-hmm. Red?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the red eyes are common among people vampires. With albinism. Well, no, I was going to say albinism.
Red and violet eye colors are extremely rare and usually associated with albinism or other genetic conditions that affect melanin production. In these cases, the iris contains little pigment, allowing underlying blood vessels to influence the visible.
How rare is it for somebody to have eyes of a different color?
Two different eyes color? Yeah. Oh.
That's got to be pretty rare, right?
That has to be.
It does occur in nature, though. Are you looking it up?
I am. How do you spell separate?
S-E-P-R-A-T-E.
Nice. Okay, so different color eyes are called heterochromia. It's rare, affecting less than...
Alexander the Great had them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Less than 1% of the population. It's uncommon in humans.
Yeah. There are some dog species where it's very common.
Yeah. So there's different types where you could have completely separate eye colors or slices of one iris is a different color. Like just...
Like a chimera.
Like a chimera. It's a congenital defect.
Oh.
Non-harmful mutation. It can also be acquired later in life due to injury, eye disease, or specific medications. It's beautiful, though.
Yellow.
I think that goes under the amber.
Yellow eyes.
Yellow.
Honest to God, he had yellow eyes.
All right,
Christmas
next up.
Story.
So, you know, in ancient Greece, there was the Oracle of Delphi. Mm-hmm. And what were they famous for?
You could go and they would tell you what the future was going to be, but they would often do it in ways that were ironic or could
cryptic.
Be interpreted different ways. Like, you might go to the Oracle of Delphi, and you're getting ready for war, and you say, you're going to go against the Persians, and the Oracle might tell you, a great kingdom shall be destroyed today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit, is that us or them?
Right.
Hmm.
So, for centuries, regular folks could travel to Delphi in southern Greece, hoping for a glimpse of their future. Because at the Temple of Apollo, a priestess would enter a trance and issue prophecies in the voice of Apollo himself. Everybody from Alexander the Great to normal people.
And King Leonidas, probably.
And King Leonidas would do that. She was known as the Pythia, or the Oracle of Delphi. And they did not believe she was a psychic. They thought she was being talked to through God.
She was channeling.
Channeling.
Apollo.
A vessel for a power. Now, according to an ancient writer named Plutarch, the temple that was there was constructed around a natural spring where the water and fissures in the rock produced a sweet-smelling gas called pneuma.
Mm-hmm.
On designated days a few times during the year, a priestess would sit around the pneuma on a tripod stool and inhale enough to get her into a trance.
Hmm.
She might cry, become hysterical, or just pass out.
And there was only one of them, or was it handed down from generation to generation?
There was different ones. No. Yeah. It turns out scientists are looking. It was just ethylene gas that she was inhaling.
Oh, so you were about to pass out because you were getting enough oxygen to your brain.
Yeah. So, yes.
It's great.
So the first modern.
I'm going into a trance.
What'd you see? You're going to die. The first modern excavations at Delphi happened between 1892 and 1950, and they found the large fissure in that rock that was mentioned before.
It really
before.
Existed, huh?
Yeah. And it was ethylene gas. So basically, shifting tectonic plates can cause gas to run.
Your brain was oxygen.
You were high. Yeah, you were high and passing out from chemicals.
I love, like, any of these old myths and legends and stuff, finding out, like, the modern interpretations of them.
They're full of shit.
You know what? A lot of people are coming around to thinking the Salem witch trials were all about.
Lead poisoning?
Poison grains.
Really?
Ergot.
Ergot poisoning?
Ergot poisoning can make you hallucinate.
And they're ascribing the witch trials to maybe somebody saw like what they thought was a witch, but it
because
wasn't.
Because they had ingested bread that had ergot in it, and it made them think or hallucinate that people were flying around or whatever. Yeah.
Witches.
Doesn't that blow your mind? Now, I don't think they've come out and said for sure that's what it was. It could have been a combination of things, both culturally and socially at the time, but that ergot poisoning could have played a major role in it.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Next
idea of like where the Cyclops came from. Do you know what the modern take on that is?
That there was mastodons that have a trunk, or even elephants. So you would find skulls of these dead animals that looked like they had three eyes or one eye.
More than skulls of dead animals. I think also like fossils.
Fossils. Yeah.
So you would find a mastodon, which is kind of like a shaggy elephant. You don't have elephants in Greece,
right?
In the 1,000 years before birth of Christ, people would say, "Look, it's a giant man, and he's got a big hole in the middle of his eye. It must be his eye hole."
No, that's where the trunk would attach, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, super interesting.
Moving on. So scientists, there's this thing called transspeciation. Oh,
is this where we're going to have space people in the future that are different species?
Well, no, it's just a matter of you're taking cells from
I'm on the wrong track.
From one organism, and you're putting it into another. For example, in an episode of The Blacklist with James Spader, I was just watching, they had a scientist who was trying to help frontal lobe disease or a traumatic brain disorder grow new cells because he was putting immortal jellyfish cells in the brain and stem cells that would help your brain recover and grow.
Okay.
Either way, sounds dumb, right? But you're taking another organism's cells, putting into this one.
Okay.
They're actually doing that, though.
All right, Dr. Moreau.
They really are doing that, though. And Chinese scientists just made glowing lights by putting firefly DNA into the plants.
Hmm.
So the plants...
Glow-in-the-dark plants.
Glow and could replace streetlights.
Okay.
The plants that look like they're out of Avatar... Do you want to see them?
Wait, are these artist rendering or the actual plant?
This is an actual plant.
Oh, and that's not featuring any unnatural light.
Nope.
That is pretty.
Right?
Looks like something you'd buy on eBay.
Kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah, like a light path that looks like flowers.
Anyways, I just think the world is amazing. Science is crazy. Turns out everything from the Oracle of Delphi smelling petrochemicals to scientists putting in DNA.
All right.
It's an amazing world, isn't it?
Sure is.
Last but not least, why do we use 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute?
Yeah.
24 hours in a day.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you the reason. Sumerians. Okay. They counted on out of base 60. Okay. When we count that, like, the decimal system, 10, 100, that's base 10.
Base 10.
Base 10. So, actually, did you know the French tried to replace the current 60 seconds to a minute, 60 minutes to an hour system?
They did.
Yes.
When did they do this?
With a decimal system. 1793, right when they were establishing the new French Republic, the revolutionaries.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, thought it would be better to have a less Christian, de-Christianized time and rationalize it. So what they did was they would every day would be divided by 10 hours, not 24.
Mm-hmm.
Each hour would have 100 minutes.
Okay.
Which would be every minute made up of 100 seconds.
And something tells me it didn't catch on, or if it did catch on, it didn't last long.
Every week was 10 days.
Yeah.
So Sunday wouldn't come till day 10. That's when you would get to rest. You'd be working day 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd finally get to rest on day 10.
I think just for context, during the age of the French Revolution, the hardcore revolutionaries didn't want kings. Didn't want queens. They were also, they'd had it with religion.
They had it with religion as well. But they went so far as many town halls even mounted decimal clocks, and official activities were reordered using the new calendar. It all fell apart. It caused headaches everywhere. First of all, because nobody else was using it.
Right.
So that was pretty not functional. Also, the peasants did not like that their day of rest came every 9 days. They were like,
amen.
Yeah. You're taking three days away from us. Come on. To understand base 60, though, we go back to Sumeria, and it goes to your hand. Hold up your hand in front of you. Bend a finger, and you'll see it has three joints. Count all the joints on a finger of one hand, not including the thumb, and you'll reach 12.
12.
Count this 12 as one using a finger on your other hand, and restart to count 12 on the first. So you would go, this would be 12, right?
Yeah.
So once you counted all, that would be 12, and then you could keep counting.
12 on the other hand.
24.
36.
36.
48.
48. 60.
No.
48,
yeah.
Yeah, 60. 60.
Okay.
That's why
we were reaching the upper limit of mathematical
of our abilities.
Yeah, yeah, that's about as high as we could get before we had to bust out an abacus or something.
Anyways, so we use base 60 because of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? That was the reason.
Your thumb only has two joints.
That's why it says not.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the AfterBuzz Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. Now you're doing it.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that is weird. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, 12, 24, 36, 48, 60.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to subscribe to the regular Buzz Adams Morning Show On Demand podcast. And keep listening in to the regular show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on KLAQ El Paso's Best Rock. Talk to you next time.